Joining us now, we have the author of a new book called Mastering Golf's Mental Game. Dr. Michael Lardon joins us. Doctor, welcome in.
Well, thank you, guys. It's a pleasure to be here.
All right, so the mental game of golf. I played in a golf tournament this past weekend, and, you know, it's always funny to watch guys in a member guest or play in a tournament and see how, especially like in the playoff, how people just kind of lock up and can't seem to hit the shots that they hit when they're under no pressure. From a 30,000 foot view, give me a feel for kind of what goes on and what happens to people mentally when they get into a tighter situation like that.
Well, I mean, the irony is that the vast majority of at least amateur golfers, they don't have a mental game plan. You know, they don't even think about it. And, you know, what happens is when you're in a competitive environment, you know, the name of the game is what's between your ears, that's 6 inches. So people like me, we kind of reinforce with athletes what are healthy thought patterns, what do you want to do, so you don't focus on the results, but you focus on the process of what you're doing to bring you the better results. And the amateurs, you know, I made a double bogey. I need to make a par or birdie. And that's really not what the issue is. The issue is, you know, let me play to my strengths of my game. Let me execute my shots. And that's a kind of a different perspective that the better golfers have.
Yeah, because we're not talking about swing plane or anything like that, the mechanics of the swing. We're talking about what's going on between the ears. How is it easy to apply techniques that you, say, developed for someone like a Phil Mickelson to an average weekend warrior?
Yeah, it's really easy. I mean, the good guys, you know, they pretty much do it, you know, innately, and they may or may not know it. But in this last book that I wrote, we really lay out what we call a mental scorecard, which is simply, you know, every shot, putt, drive, what have you, you need a strategy. Okay, it's a 6-iron. I'm going to cut it off the trees or what have you. That's a left brain. And you need a right brain, a creative. Let me get a picture of that shot in my mind. Then you need to step up and execute it. And if you can do those three things every time and score yourself on how well you did those things, ironically, you'll find out that if you do well with that, that your real score will be better. So that's how we try to focus them.
Is there a fine line, though, between kind of maybe clearing your mind to hit a golf shot versus information overload? I mean, there are some...
We don't want information overload.
Right.
We want it always simple. You know, so, I mean, two things from the mental standpoint. One is, you know, Nietzsche, the famous philosopher, said knowledge is power. So the more you know about your game, right, you know where your strengths are, you know where your weaknesses are, you can play to those. That just by making strategic decisions, that can equate to a few shots better. And most of your amateur golfers have no idea. With that being said, when we do the mental scorecard piece, it's really simple. You know, just figure out the best shot to hit, get a picture of it, and hit it. Don't think about swing plane. Don't think about all the other stuff. That's for the practice range. That is not for competitive golf. And they're apples and oranges, and that's why you have people hit it so good on the range, then they come to the first tee, they hit it OB, and they're, you know, rubbing their head like, how did that happen?
Well, sometimes that's where those first three beers come into play during the round.
Well, that's something that's ill-advised also. If you want to play good in the member guest, you do that on the 19th hole, right?
I don't know. There's some guys that seem to thrive on, you know, 5 or 6 beers, but, you know, the first or second beer doesn't work. The fifth or sixth works really well, and then the eighth or ninth, if they just go off the deep end.
Yeah, we call that a curvilinear response. That's a scientific joke. But, you know, I did want to mention a little bit about game golf, which is something I use with the players. And that's this, you know, device that can track your shots. And in the pros, there's been a thing that we've used, a similar thing, where we analyze all the shots. And every good player, you know, that's a tour player, knows that my strength is, you know, from 50 to 80 yards. I'm not as good from 30 to 40. And your average golfer is called ShotLink on the tour, and it's been around for many years. Now, just like everything else, technology has now penetrated into the world of amateur sports, and that is a fantastic tool because you basically just hook this thing on your belt, tap your club to it, and it'll record everything you did that at the end you can watch on the iPhone. It slices and dices the data, and you learn a lot. You know, you learn that maybe, you know, my driver isn't as wild, or maybe it's only, you know, on dog leg rights, or my three wood really is my go-to club, and you end up making much better decisions. And that's what the pros do. I mean, the very good golfers, for the most part. Now, Phil sometimes makes some questionable decisions in his miraculous play. But, you know, it teaches you to play smarter. And that's an easy way to take a few shots off your game. And then the other is have a little mental play card, a script, kind of like what I'm talking about with the mental scorecard. You do those two things, you practice it a little bit, and you can't help but get better. And then they're easy to do.
So tools like that, like Game Golf or the mental scorecard, take the thinking out of your address in competition. So you're doing all of your data generation at another time, and you stand over at address and are actually able to, you know, it's hard to say, think clearly with fewer thoughts.
Well, right. I mean, you know, there's an old Zen saying, we want to learn something so well that we forget it, right? So, you know, most athletes, even regular people in the world, have been in the zone at some point in their life. Not always Stephen Curry shooting hoops. But you know, it's that space where everything comes easy, and that's coming easy without thinking about it too much. So we want to, you know, it's great. When you're in the zone, you don't think everything's good. Unfortunately, that doesn't happen all the time. So really what it is how do we deal with negative thoughts? And one of the easiest techniques is called thought substitution, where we use a thought that is not going to hurt us. So Billy Casper, famous, you know, golfer who sadly just passed away, I've spoken to him many times, and I'd say, how do you deal with the pressure? And he said, well, I just use a basic thought like finish high. It's not technical. It doesn't require him thinking much about it. But the utility is he doesn't think about hitting it in the water on the left or whatever. You know, he doesn't catastrophize the situation. So that's a very simple technique. You know, so if you get in that situation, it's that last hole to break 80 or something like that, rather than thinking about, oh, God, I've never broken 80, let's just think about if I need to think about something, it's a simple thing. Otherwise, I don't think about it, and I just, you know, hit the shot with full commitment. So it's not easy to do, but it's not complicated. It's actually very simple. But it, like everything else, you got to practice it a little.
Well, we're talking to Dr. Michael Lardon, author of Mastering Golf's Mental Game. And Doctor, I'm curious, as we try to help our listeners a little bit here with this session, what can an average golfer do very, very simply to improve their mental approach to golf?
Well, I mean, you know, two things. The mental approach, one, takes a lot less time than if, you know, to do a whole swing rework. And again, I just want to emphasize, if you know your game better, you know where you're good, you're bad, you're weak, and you accommodate that in competitive play where you want to shoot your best score, that's really important. And that's why those tools like Game Golf that teach you about what you've done are really important, and that's why at the highest levels of sport, athletes, you know, they watch the film, they watch the video, they study it. It's something the amateur can do. The other half is, you know, we just need to learn that if I pay attention to what I'm doing at the moment, am I making the right choice? Am I hitting the shot with full commitment? That's going to lead to the result. Now, the trick is human nature is, you know, I want to make birdie or I need the par. But we teach them, you know, you do well when you attend to the thing at hand that will determine what happens. That's a really simple thing. But when I take a young golfer out, like a web.com guy, he might do that 85% of the time, and I'm there with a whip, I mean, metaphorically, and I'm like, did we do it this shot? And sure enough, we could all do it 100% of the time. If our child's life was in the balance, you'd say, hey, no question, I could do it every time. So it gives you a benchmark that you can do. You can't drink beer and do it. You know, I mean, that's probably not going to work. But if you can do it realistically, your average 10 handicapper maybe does it 50% of the time. Your 20 handicapper, oh, God, maybe 10%. And if you can bump that up where, you know, you do those basic tenets 75% of the time, you're going to play a lot better.
Doctor, is there anything in your studying with Phil Mickelson that he does that kind of surprised you in terms of how he processes and how he goes through his progressions?
Well, I mean, I think one of Phil's many gifts, but one of his greatest gifts is his creativity. So in this process that we use with athletes, and I don't only mean golfers, place kickers in the NFL, or, you know, God knows what, high jumpers in the Olympics, the part two, you know, lots of the guys are very good at the strategy. They know what club, they know where the danger is, you know, they have that piece down. But Phil has an incredible creative ability. He'll see shots that people don't see. I remember one time we were at Rancho Santa Fe Golf Course, and he was explaining to me a little simple, what looked like a bump and run, that he could do it seven different ways. And I was once working with another tour golfer, same kind of situation. Good golfer, I mean, kept his card, but he could only see it three ways. So I think Phil, you know, has great creativity, and that's manifested when we watch him on TV, and that is an amazing gift that he has. So maybe that was surprising, and that is remarkable.
All right, Doctor, before we let you go, and it's not every day we have a world-renowned sports psychiatrist on the show, I need to ask you a question for my friend. I've got this friend, and he plays golf. And every time he's at a dress, he has trouble with conflicting thoughts. In fact, it's three conflicting voices in his head. One is Margaret Thatcher. The other is Thomas Jefferson. And the third is a seal. Any advice for him about how to handle this on a dress?
Well, it sounds first off like schizophrenia, and we have medicine for that. No, I mean, I'm joking with you. I'm kidding with you.
Well, he tends to listen to the seal.
I think you're kidding with me.
Yeah, my friend tends to take the advice of the seal.
Yeah, I like that. I like that. Well, that might be the better advice because it might be nice and simple, okay? And what we want is it nice and simple. But really, if you have competing thoughts while you're at a dress, you know, should I do this? Am I laying it off on top or whatever? The idea is then you replace it. You substitute it with one very basic, easy thought that is not technically challenging. And that might be, I just want to keep my balance. Or I want to extend down the target. Or like Billy Casper, I want to finish high. And that way, your attention is focused on something that's helpful rather than something that's detrimental.
I just think Mike's friend listens to the seal because the seal actually speaks in modern English instead of old English. So that's probably part of it. But
I'm wondering if Mike's friend is you guys. But anyhow,
it's really Mike. But we're not going to tell anybody that, just between us. Doctor, remind everybody the name of the book and where they can find the book to purchase.
Well, it's Mastering Golf's Mental Game. They can find it everywhere, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, online, in store. And, I think if you spend the time to go through the book, it would be impossible not to improve. If you go to Amazon where people review it, I think there's many, many testaments to that. And not that I made it up. It's really through 25 years of observation and traveling with the PGA Tour. These are the things that the best guys in the world do.
All right. Well, Doctor, we appreciate you hopping on with us. Thanks a lot.
It's my pleasure. Thank you very much.
Thanks a lot. That's Dr. Michael Lardon, author of the new book, Mastering Golf's Mental Game.